Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I'm Brenda Barker, the TIPQC Executive Director. And we are really excited today to have Brianna Harris Henderson join us to discuss peripartum cardiomyopathy.
We also have joining us today Dr. Connie Graves, who is a MFM, as well as nationally recognized for all of her work around cardiac disease in pregnancy. And it's such an honor to have you, Dr. Graves, as well join us. I just wanted to see, what is PPCM? How would you clinically describe that? Give us your perspective.
Well, cardiomyopathy can occur during pregnancy or after pregnancy. The definition of peripartum cardiomyopathy is heart failure that occurs around pregnancy or up to 6 months after you deliver. So just because the baby has been delivered does not mean that your risk goes away. We know that a heart in itself takes about 6 months to fully recover from the changes in pregnancy. Keeping in mind that your heart has been working for 294 days overtime to supply blood to both you and to your unborn baby. So for women who have issues with shortness of breath or fatigue or even abnormal heartbeats, that is a diagnosis that needs to be considered. And as we have discussed on this podcast, needs to be worked up with appropriate blood testing and also with imaging or an ultrasound of your heart. Interestingly, women who have a low blood count can also have many of the same symptoms. So it's really important to report these to your clinician.
Thank you so much, Dr. Graves. So glad you could join us today.
Thank you.
Brianna is the founder and CEO of the Let's Talk PPCM nonprofit organization. She is a certified patient family partner, a patient advocate, a doula, and a best-selling author. She's also a loving wife and mother of two children. She was deeply inspired to provide comprehensive prenatal and preventative education after surviving a near-miss diagnosis during her pregnancy and postpartum season. After recovering from her pregnancy-induced health condition and learning what took her sister's life, Brianna dedicates her time to ensuring that mothers and families are informed during the perinatal period. She fulfills her heart's mission through professional doula support and her nonprofit organization. Again, Brianna, we're so thrilled that you would join us today and share your story. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here this morning.
Absolutely. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have a personal lived experience. Tell us more.
With what started with my condition being diagnosed with PPCM, was back when in 2014, my older sister, Crystal, was actually about to have her second child. And it wasn't until about 3 months after the birth when she actually started having some symptoms as far as some shortness of breath. And once she went to the urgent care, they immediately sent her to the ER because they figured it was something heart related going on. But by the time when she got to the ER, a part of her heart had already begun to start to collapse. And so what they was trying to figure out, they was doing a lot of testings on her to see what was going on with her heart. She was only 27 years old, a new mom. And I believe that the doctors weren't aware that she was a new mom at the time as well. But they kept trying to come up with diagnosis. Unfortunately, about 3 months after that, altogether 6 months postpartum, her heart completely gave out and all of her organs end up shutting down with the heart as well. And so we were not able to save her. And they never came up with an actual diagnosis. So they put on her death certificate that she died of a natural cause death. And we knew that that wasn't right, but there was nothing we can do for change in that moment, at least nothing we thought that we could do. So about 2.5 years later, I ended up having my life picking up the pieces from losing her. We had already lost our mom in 2006 from breast cancer. So we kind of walked that life together. And so then I had to learn how to kind of relive life without the both of them as well. And so by the time I got to my marriage and I was on my second pregnancy, it was around about 36 weeks, I believe, in my second pregnancy, I started feeling a flutter in my heart. And I noticed that it was weird. I never felt it before. So I asked the obstetrician at my next prenatal appointment if she could listen to my heart. And I told her, I know that wasn't her thing. And, that, you know, it was only for the baby around that time. But that, you know, if she can listen to the flutter that I felt. And so she did diagnose me with a heart murmur, but she let me know that it will probably go away at the end of the birth or after the birth. And so I never worried about it again after that. But when I end up giving birth, I end up having a severe hemorrhage 10 hours postpartum. And so they had to rush me into surgery. I was like upside down for about 5 hours. Just for them to find the bleeding. And I know that the anesthesiologist came and talked to me, let me know they almost couldn't find it and would have had to rip out my uterus. But fortunately, they was able to keep it intact and they didn't have to go that route. But from there, everything seemed fine. I ended up getting an echocardiogram while on the L&D floor because I brought it up to my obstetrician again. I was like, okay, well, you know, I lost my sister. I don't know what kind of condition she had. I just know that it was something that attacked her heart. And I just wanted to be okay being upside down for 5 hours and losing all that blood. I lost about 2 liters of blood within that 10-hour frame. And so once they got me reassessed, I stayed for about another 5 days in the hospital, me and my daughter. They readmitted both of us so that we can be checked up on and monitored. And so once they got the bleeding and everything controlled, my echocardiogram looked good because my obstetrician did listen to my concerns and brought up a heart scan so they can see where my heart was progressing like. And everything checked out normal and fine. And I was able to get discharged and left. It wasn't until about 2 weeks later, I started developing like a little cough. And this, I normally deal with sicknesses and allergies. So it wasn't nothing for me to develop a sickness or anything. So from there, I noticed cough kind of accelerated over time. So it was now 3 weeks postpartum, 4 weeks postpartum, 5 weeks, and this cough is still there. I'm literally hacking up, trying to get this phlegm out because it would feel like it's stuck in the middle of my throat. And then it wasn't until I believe when I was pumping one night, this was around Christmas time. So around the day of Christmas, I actually had some illnesses as far as like stuffy nose, like my nose stuff starting to get more stuffier. I was getting more swelling, like I was swelling up. And I'm thinking that it was just postpartum weight. I was like, oh, okay, you know, the baby died, the second pregnancy, I gained weight. And obviously your body changes with each pregnancy. And so that's what I'm thinking. But my dad did notice that I looked a little weird or a little pale, that he said at the gathering. And so he wanted to give me some medicine, thought that it would help clear my sinus infection or whatever I had going on, that we thought. But not doing anything to help me that night. So I was like, I'll just take another one in the morning and see how I feel then. But when we got home that night, when we was getting ready to unload the car with my husband, I ended up walked halfway and I felt like it took all of me just to get halfway from the car to the door. And I was like, oh my goodness. And so like my husband, he got the kids in the house, our plates and everything. And he had to go back and get me to bring me back because I was halfway. And so he walked me halfway to get me back to the door. And I remember falling out on the couch. It's like, oh my God, I feel like I ran up here. You know, I just feel like I ran to the door and I was like, oh my goodness. And I just laid there. And so I ended up having to pump that night. And I didn't, you know, I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm not thinking that this was an alarming. I wasn't told to, one, given no red light about anything or what to look for as far as like anything heart related, right? So I wasn't thinking about that. But from then, when I was pumping that night, I remember my heart pumping really fast. Like it was just a really fast beating pump that I was doing. And so I remember asking him if he could listen into my chest. You know, we don't have no stethoscope, none of the doctors or anything. But I just remember him put his ear on my chest and see if it was like beating fast to him too. And he was like, yeah, it do sound like it's beating fast now. And I just kind of chalked it up to, okay, it's because I'm pumping and, you know, I just had a baby and my body went through a lot of stuff. And so that's what I'm thinking, you know. And so I didn't want him to worry about it. You know, he was working his full shifts and I was already off on my paternity leaves for the baby. So I didn't want to affect his sleeping or anything other than that. But that night when I tried to lay down, I remember getting up and I had to gasp for air. I couldn't breathe when I was laying down on my pillow at night, like a regular laying down. And so I remember leaning over and texting my dad and let him know I couldn't breathe when I was laying down. You know, it felt like I was suffocating. And so he was like, no, that don't sound normal. You need to get to the hospital, breathe. That sound like it could be pneumonia or bronchitis. And I was like, well, I got a postpartum appointment on Thursday. Here it is Monday. But I'm like, no, I can wait until Thursday to go in and see if anything. And so my dad is like one of those advocates where he's like, nah, I think we need to go. So he ended up taking him on himself to come and pick me up. And we had to get the kids situated. And my husband, I sent him on to work. And I told him I should be fine. And hopefully I'll be out today with antibiotics or something like that for whatever was going on. And so we ended up going to the hospital. They ended up admitting me. They admitted me because I had oxygen levels in the 82. And I also had fluid over my lungs and my heart, and my heart was enlarged as well. And so they had went ahead and kept me. They did another echocardiogram at night. It took a day, about 24 hours, for a cardiologist to come and see me to let me know that I was suffering from postpartum cardiomyopathy. And it was something that he only saw about 3 times a year during that time in his area. And so from that point on, he ended up giving me all the treatment options that we was able to get approved for through the health insurance. So at that moment, I know that health insurance was very crucial for me in that moment, having the insurance that I have, not knowing that these things was about to take place. And I was only 23 at the time. And normally a lot of my generation probably hold off on health insurance. So it really saved my life during that time. So we did all the options. And I did cardiac rehab, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to finish cardiac rehab because they end up not having transportation because it was outside of their zip code area. And so I wasn't able to get the transportation to and from back to the appointment. And so I just kind of put that away and just decided to go off prayer and medication at that time and being able to get to the appointments that I was best able to. So me, my dad, my husband, we were just always try to make sure I'm able to get to my appointments the best way I can. We had a few family members that would be able to help in and out, but I'm the type who don't like to ask for help or don't feel like I need help. I'm the one that like to help others and like to give to others. So I just felt so horrible around that time, having to lean on other people. But I did find the strength in me when I was diagnosed with PPCM. You know, I was letting my cardiologist, I didn't know nothing about that. And so I remember researching it and I didn't find a lot of articles or anything about it. And I was like, oh my God, you know, and he felt like strongly that that's what, after he was reading in my files, he felt strongly that that's what my sister passed away from, other than a natural cause. He feels strongly that, no, we both suffered from this rare condition that they're not sure what mom is going to develop. That's how he told it to me. And so from there, I felt somewhat at peace because now I feel like I had a connection with what happened with my sister. But also now I'm going through it by myself and I'm not sure what to do from here. I don't know who else is dealing with this. My sister's gone. And so I remember, I think about 3 months into my treatment sessions, I end up having to wear a life vest. And the life vest was there. It was a wearable defibrillator. So just in case my heart went into cardiac arrest, it would be able to resuscitate right then and there. And my sister also had to wear one of those as well. So I remember, you know, happening to see her and happen to be with her going through that transition. So I'm sitting here going through that same transition with my own self now, just kind of walking in the shoes that she was walking in as well. And so it was more of an emotional connect for me. But I got through it well. I would say that news station ended up coming in. You know, they wanted to film a part of my session when I was going to cardiac rehab. So we was able to get a session there, being able to bring together a story to create awareness for the hospital. The hospital, you know, wanted some more awareness around that condition. And so they used my story to being able to help highlight that. And then so from there, I ended up taking it to Facebook and I was looking up to see if we have other anybody that, you know, heard of this condition. And it was like, it popped up like women was getting diagnosed with this condition. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I was told that it was rare. So I thought me and my sister were the only two people in the world who had it. And I was just shocked. And I was like, well, all of these stories, we was like in a private setting. So I was like, well, maybe if we, you know, after I shared my story, shared who I was, and I let them know, if we can take the stories out in the public so maybe others can see them, so that it won't be considered as rare as they think, because there's so many other women that keeps developing the condition. And so I had a lot of women who were okay with sharing their stories. I ended up creating a blog prayerfully. God gave me the name as far as Let's Talk PBCM, because to get people to talk about it, that's what, you know, at the time I wanted people to talk about PBCM. So I was like, well, let's talk PBCM. And so we named the blog that. And so from the blog, it ended up doing pretty good as far as gaining some attention with the stories and stuff. Because, you know, the story is like, oh my God, people getting heart failure just from having a baby. And it's like, what is that? You know, so people are getting interested and want to make sure that they're not developing it, right? Or at least knowing that they're aware of the symptoms and the signs to look out for. And so we ended up transitioning into an actual nonprofit to being able to start the educational sessions as far as hosting workshops and being able to give women some like the discounts or free access to BNP blood testings, whether we hosting events or being able to partner with the actual practices themselves, the medical practices. And so actually we just end up getting in partnership with Baylor Scott & White, and that was actually the hospital that helped save my life twice. And so we were very happy and excited to be able to partner with them, and that's to be able to create free workshops for the medical staff. And just being able to bring awareness, because there's a lot of doctors and these patients themselves, they're still unaware of what this condition is. And even like with my sister, you know, instead of it being missed, we could have had, it was signs there that we could have been able to pay attention to when she was developing this condition, you know, outside of just the shortness of breath. I don't remember her having any swelling or anything outside of that. I just know that she had a lot of shortness of breath, but hers was very rapid. It was at a rapid rate, you know, how her body was functioning. The medicine wasn't helping her. Nothing was helping. She couldn't keep food down. So it was definitely a different experience with her walk in it, and then with as far as with me. And of course, I was a lot younger. And so the doctors also felt like that was a lot helpful as well, because being younger, they felt like you're able to kind of fight through it a little more. But unfortunately, with this condition, there's no age attached to it. So women, we've had women that develop it at 18 years old, you know, and need a new heart, or, you know, now have to go on heart transplant list just from developing this condition, because we weren't aware, you know, of a condition like this. Well, we offer now resources and trainings that are available to healthcare providers and even with moms as well. You know, we do free digital and printable PBCM materials that highlight red flags, warning signs, and risk factors. And also we do webinars and the workshops opportunities in partnerships with the hospitals.
Brianna, thank you so much for sharing your journey, and what a remarkable story. And thank you so much for using such a hard experience for good for others. We really, really appreciate that. I know that you mentioned some resources and trainings on your website. Can you tell us more about what's available?
Yes, ma'am. And so we do offer support groups as far as connecting survivors and families nationwide. So our support group has been growing tremendously. It's not growing like as far as a rapid rate, as far as like, oh yeah, this condition is looking more common. but we're getting a lot of more diagnosed women that's accurately being diagnosed. So we have a lot of traffic that's on the website itself for doctors and just the general public itself to being able to educate themselves. You know, it's so much education on there, so much information that we have on there. You know, that's outside of the pamphlets that we have. We have our new magazine that we just released with our celebrity, our star, as Lisa Schwartz. She was actually a celebrity advocate now for the maternal heart health because she ended up going into the same heart failure and was uneducated and unaware. She felt unheard and that her symptoms were basically missed. And had we not have been around being able to offer that help and that sources, you know, she felt like she wouldn't have had anyone that would be relatable to that condition. And so it was just a blessing in itself. And you know how God is working it out. But as far as that, we are trying to get some initiatives of our partnerships going with actual medical practices themselves. So being able to partner with providers, birth workers, you know, midwives, we're trying to being able to have partnerships to offer free training education for them. And then also partnering with the BMP blood testing. So getting more moms aware to know that they're able to ask or request this test so that they can feel more at peace that, you know, that they're not developing PPCM. So there is a peace of mind that women can get that they're not aware that they can ask for a BMP blood test. And some doctors, you know, they've been kind of either pushing it off or pushing it off for their younger patients that they feel like the younger patients aren't able to, they don't need the test because they feel like they're too young to develop heart issues. You know, we've been hearing that, or we've been hearing that some of the doctors are just unaware of what the condition is and they're looking confused when the patient is asking about it. And so we're just trying to help bridge the gap there because obviously we don't want doctors having to feel weird or look like they're not educated enough about this horrible condition that, you know, a lot of moms, we have a lot of patients that may get upset at their doctors or pretty much not knowing what to expect with the condition. So, you know, it wasn't a lot of information out there. So that's what we're trying to help bridge the gap there as far as bringing the education as many as possible. Ma'am, you can connect with us at letstalkppcm.org. You can also follow our pages, our media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Let's Talk PPCM. And so that is also spelled the way that it's stated. Let's Talk PPCM. That's where you can find us, follow us, and learn a lot about us through there. Being able to connect with us, send us an email, or, and, you know, as far as partnerships, memberships as well. And, you know, or looking at signs and symptoms, educating yourself there. We also offer doula support through our doula program, being able to offer that support for women, just making sure that they're being able to get the care and assistance that they're needing, like how it was for me when I had to advocate for myself unknowingly, but my doctor did listen to me. So I do have, fortunately, an uplifting story on that note, as far as I did have a provider who listened to my concerns and she followed through with those concerns.
Thank you so much. Also, just wondering what types of resources, you've mentioned some for patients and families, or what advice would you give to a patient or family who's listening now?
So my advice is for others to just being able to trust your instincts. If you feel like something isn't right, you know, like shortness of breath, swelling, chest pain, or extreme fatigue, speak up and request a BMP blood test or echocardiogram. You know your body best. PPCM doesn't discriminate, and early detection truly saves lives. And again, a lot of information is provided on that website, so that we can get that mission out there as far as it's rooted in prevention through awareness. Because we know now that PPCM is one of the leading causes of maternal mortalities, because the cardiovascular disease, as far as one of the number one killers in women overall. And so just being able to have information, awareness, or even knowing that this condition exists, I feel like you know, can help save lives in itself. If me and my sister, if we would have heard this condition before back then, or if this was around back then, you know, I truly feel like we would have had some more answers. The doctors would have had more answers. They would have had something more to go off of instead of having a natural cause with a 27-year-old mom, new mother, who needed a new heart from out of nowhere. So they couldn't figure out with her. And, you know, it took my cardiologist, which is just a couple of years later. They had new medications to offer. They had new equipment to offer. They had new options to offer just from that short time. And so a lot of the time I did feel survivor's guilt for a while until I just been able to now, I'd have started keynote speaking, and I'm able now to bring kind of the connect the dots and bring the whole story together as one on how we got here today. So that's been very healing for me, my heart. I did fortunately recover about 2 years after my diagnosis. So my heart went from 20% function to 55% functions. And so that was put me in a normal state. And so from there, I just try to use my story and allow God to be able to use me to being able to help save as many lives as we can. Even if one is saved, hey, that's helpful for me. So it warms my heart.
Brianna, you've mentioned your kids a couple of times. Tell us about your kiddos.
Oh my gosh, they are great. Well, my kids, they actually, my son, he's 13 this year, and my daughter, she just turned 9. That's Raphael and Talacia. They both actually just became Arthurs, younger Arthurs this year for Heart Month, actually, but they released their new children's book. One is called My Mom's Remarkable Heart, and the other one is called Remarkable Heart, My Mom's Superpower. And so they actually released that to being able to dedicate their time or some of their time, their kid time, to being able to offer PPC awareness for the children in the children's area as far as in school, elementary, teaching the little young kids about their hearts and the importance of hearts. And that's pretty much so. You can find that on our website, too, as well as letstalkppcm.org/children's books as well.
Thank you again for sharing really your remarkable story and for sharing about your sister as well and your kiddos. So I know you're so proud of them. Thank you again for talking with me today. Is there anything else you would want to share before we wrap up?
So just making sure that if you feel like if you are pregnant or if, you know, if there's any pregnant moms that's listening, to not be scared or have anxiety or feel like, oh, my goodness, I might have this or developing this. There's testings there. There's awareness there. So there doesn't have to be a panic. Fortunately, a lot of moms do not have to go through this condition. They are not developing no type of heart conditions throughout their pregnancies. But we do have some women that may develop a condition, but it may not be heart related, or it can be linked to something other than their heart. So just being able to be mindful and aware of what you feel is best that you, you know, if you feel like your body is going through something strenuous and you want more confirmation on that, like myself, you know, I just asked my obstetrician if she could just check my heart, found a murmur. She, you know, so I was like, oh, okay, we're putting together the connections here. I'm on the L&D floor. I just had a severe hemorrhage. A lot of women don't, you know, have to go through the hemorrhage part, but I did, unfortunately. But that's what also triggered me to ask that question on, okay, I just want to check my heart and make sure it's okay. So if you ever end up feeling like uneasy about something and you just want to make sure your heart is okay, you get that BNP blood test, get an echocardiogram, and if their insurance or anything that's keeping you from that, just being able to advocate for yourself and ask the questions that you need to ask continuously until you're able to get some type of help there.
Well, you are definitely an inspiration to all of us, Brianna. Thank you so much for sharing today. And in the show notes, we will have links to the websites and be able to look, as you have so eloquently shared, the signs, the symptoms, and some of the resources. So again, thank you so much for joining us today, and really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's T-I-P-Q-C.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.